Good morning, everyone. As Michael mentioned, as we were gathering as elders yesterday, we were just really just thanking God for all of you. You are wonderful. You guys are so wonderful. You serve all the time. You are just kind and you care for each other, and just the spirit that you exude as the people of God is just such a beautiful fragrance. And we're just left like just thanking God and just so bubbled up just because of how wonderful you all. So I love you all. I'm so thankful to God for you all. Really, I know we're small, I know, but there's such a sweetness in this congregation, and I just thank God for all of you. You're wonderful. Well done, everyone. Seriously, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for your dear people here, for your dear congregation, Lord, for all the ways that they pray and serve and seek you first and trust you and believe in you and take your word to heart, O Lord God. I thank you for the love that each one here shows for one another. I thank you, Lord, that when we do fail one another, when we do sin, that there is a strength here where we repent and we come back to you and we apologize. And just, I thank you, Lord, for this congregation. And I do ask that you would continue and yes, even grow our witness in all the surrounding communities, Father God. So many different towns we represent here, forming one larger community. And we ask, Lord God, that you would continue and increase your name going forth from here, O God. That you, through us and through the working of your Spirit, would call people who do not yet know you to faith in Jesus Christ, O Lord God. Lord, I pray as we come, begin the next few weeks to wrap up the book of Hosea, that your final message here, Father, would really strike home with us. That you would, as our passage says this morning, and as Joel 2 says, that Michael read from, Lord, that you would call us and we would hear you in any area of our lives, O God, to return to you. If there is any area of our lives, Lord, that we are withholding from you, I pray, Lord God, that you would break that down, that we would return to you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, O God. So please speak to us now through your word and do your work within us. May your will, Father, be done. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, please turn with me to Hosea chapter 14, the last chapter in the book of Hosea. Whoops. And we're going to take it in two sections. I think that's the plan for now, at least, this week and next week. Remember, I said there's kind of been sections throughout the whole book, and in the kind of latter half of the book, there's been a few different larger sections encompassing many chapters where we see God is issuing, like almost like a lawsuit against his people, showing the ways in which they've broken the covenant. And then he follows that up with the punishment that's going to come because of their sinful breaking of the covenant. And then there's the call to return to him, the call to repent and come back, because God wants to heal his people, bless his people, restore them and their relationship to him. And so we saw that again in this last section here, in chapters 12 was the covenant complaint, and then chapter 13, remember last week, it was really a very hard chapter to get through because it's the coming punishments for sin, of God's people who have broken their relationship with him. And now we get to the call to return and the call for hope that God is not going to give up on us. That God is as our loving father, that God as a faithful spouse will never give up on us. Yes, difficulties, hard times, really, really hard challenges. We saw last week that even including death will come, but death is not the end. And so now we get to begin to look at that hope that God holds out. And it's no accident that he puts that hope at the end. That's what he leaves us with in the book of Hosea. So this morning we will look at just verses 1 through 3. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, except what is good, and we will pay with bowls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us, and we will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. This is God's word. Have a very simple call here to return to the Lord. Come back. Remember, he has laid out the sin that his people, that has taken root in his people. And if I could summarize it, maybe, it's not that they don't believe he exists. It's not as if they are purposely saying, I don't care what you say, God. I don't care what you are, who you are. But they're living day to day as if God didn't exist. They're taking the blessings from his hands and attributing those blessings to false gods and, we see here, the work of their own hands. Look what our hands have made. Look at all this wealth we've accumulated. Look at all these wonderful things we've done, but they're from God. And so the people, if you asked them, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God, absolutely. But in their day-to-day lives, they were living as if he wasn't real. He's real. God is real. Sin is bad, horrible, leads to death. But God's mercy and his call to repent is real also. In the first two verses here, the first verse and a half, verses one and the beginning of verse two, there's the call to repent. Now, repent, we've probably, heard it defined throughout your life in different ways, but it's the idea of turning. It's taking a turning. You're going one way, and you're going to turn and go another way. Okay? You're going to change the things you're doing. You're going to wake up and realize, wow, what I'm doing is wrong, and I'm going to turn and change. Let's return to Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquities. Take with you words, which we'll talk about in a second, and return to the Lord. Turning away from what we are doing and then turning towards God's way is the first step here in returning to God, repenting of what we're doing. I know we keep coming back to this parallel or this passage in the New Testament when we're looking through Hosea, but think of the prodigal son, right? That he's literally walked away from his father, lived a sinful life, and then he came to himself and he turned around. That's like a really physical turning around to go and walk back home, physically returning to the Father. Well, that's the act of repentance. In that moment, you haven't taken care of or atoned, made reparations for all of your sins. You haven't yet said anything to the Father, but in your own will, your own mind, there's a determination that says, I don't want to live this sinful way anymore. I want God's way. The first step of returning to God is repentance. The second step in this passage here then is confess. To confess. We see this in verse 2. It alludes to it in the first part of verse 2 and then goes into it in the second half. It says, take with you words. So as you turn, now we're going to talk to God. We're actually going to speak to him. But because we're returning to him, in this repentance, we're realizing that our way we've been living, our behavior has been sinful. And just as a parenthesis, the language that's used here, I know, is as if there's only two things here. Either you're 100% following God or you're 100% not following God. Well, that's not really, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, there are only two ways to live, God's way or not God's way. But, you know, there are many things that people were doing in their daily lives that looked like they were following God, offering sacrifices, giving tithes, following what they considered the Sabbath laws, okay? So, like, going to synagogue or, like, going to church, right? So there were many aspects of their lives that looked like they were following God, but in their hearts, they weren't. They weren't fully, completely depending on God, trusting in God, seeking to follow him in every area of their life. And so it says, now that you've turned, repented, now take your words and speak to God, because sin is real and it's deadly. And we don't just turn around and then say, okay, God, so about these things I have this week, I need you to come back and bless me again. Hold on. There's a break in the relationship with God. And so they say, here's in the quotes now, the people speaking to God in their confession, take away all iniquity except what is good, and we will pay with bowls the vows of our lips. So first, take away all iniquity, confessing I have sinned. And that sin has broken my relationship with you. And I know that now. I see that now. I should have known it all along because you've never shied away from telling me. But in this, as you've been giving your word through the prophet Hosea, I've been awoken to my sinfulness. And I confess that before you. Next line. This is a really interesting one. Accept what is good. So people are praying this, right? I am sinful. I confess that to you, God. Now, accept what is good. That is not saying, hey, God, I have some good things here, so take that, and that should suffice to cover my sins and pay for my sins. Not at all. There's no effort here to atone for their own sins. But there is this, Lord, as I'm turning away from sin and to you, as I'm confessing my sin to you, Lord, look at these things that I'm doing and I want to do as unto you, not to credit that to my account or to wash away some of my sins, but as an indication, God, of this is my heart's desire. When we choose and we want to follow God, we want to do good. We want to obey him. Sin comes in, and then there's times when we don't, right? but it's an offering unto the Lord. Not to gain you any points with God, but it is an offering, right? When we physically give our offering in the offering plate, that's, I'm giving to God. Here you go, God. God doesn't need our money, right? Of course not. But it's an offering to God from our hearts unto Him. When we go and we help somebody who's hurting, when we comfort someone who's hurting, if we're doing it as unto the Lord, that's an offering unto Him. When we help a person who's struggling, whether it's physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, if our hearts are right, we do it unto the Lord and say, Lord, take what is good. I offer it unto you. Not to gain points with you, but because I've chosen, I want to follow you. I want to do things your way. And then we will pay with bowls the vows of our lips. So now in this process, they're committing themselves back to God. And he's saying, I'm going to make vow. I'm going to promise to follow you. I'm going to promise things to you, God. And now I'm going to keep those promises. I'm going to fulfill. Again, not because, boy, if I don't make promises, or if I fail in keeping my promises, you know, you're gonna punish me and kick me out again. So I better be on good behavior. No, but it's out of love, right? When you if you get married at a wedding ceremony, you make vows to one another. Okay. Maybe it's just me. I can admit that, but I'm not always great at keeping some of those vows. I don't mean like in the big sense of keeping your vow. I mean, you know, but I don't always act as lovingly as I should, right? And that doesn't mean that Cynthia kicks me out. Well, she could, you know, maybe sometimes she should, you know, but she hasn't yet. Thank you, Lord, right? That's grace right there. But I'll tell you, when I don't love, there's a break. There's a wound in the relationship, right? I'm not trying to earn her good favor back, but why do I make promises to her and keep them? Because I love her. And that's our approach towards God. So in returning to the Lord, we repent, we turn, we confess to God, we speak to God. And then as it goes in here in verse 3, it's kind of overlaps a little bit with confession, but there's a sense of acknowledging what has happened and acknowledging, in this case, it is with words. There's no formula here. You have to speak words or speak these certain words. But there's an acknowledgement of the way things ought to be, of the truth, as a proclamation, a statement of belief in what is true about who God is. And so, in this proclamation here, they're saying, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. So he's saying, they're saying, look, we acknowledge what we've done wrong. We acknowledge that instead of looking to you as our king, as our protector, as the one who provides us with all things, we've looked to other nations to protect us. During this time period here, again, we're getting close to 722 BC, when the northern tribes, 10 tribes called Israel collectively, will be taken over by Assyria. Assyria's becoming a world power here, and they're taking over lots of other territories. And so the king of Israel, a number of different times, said, Assyria, here, would you like a lot of money? Just don't hurt us, okay? And so they were paying off Assyria, and Assyria said, sure, we'll take your money, then we'll go fight some wars over here. We'll take some more money, we won't fight you, and we'll go fight this person over here. And eventually they said, now we're going to take you over. Right? I mean, there's a lot of, for many of us, if knowing some more modern history, right? It's the way some nations tried to treat Germany in World War II. Right, a policy of appeasement, was very famous for the British Prime Minister Chamberlain trying to appease Germany to say, don't attack us, right? And that didn't work out very well at first for Britain. And so that's what they're trying to do here. But now they're acknowledging, look, it's not Assyria that's going to protect us. It's you, God. Okay, riding on horses, getting our own army is not what's going to save us. It doesn't mean don't have an army. But if you're depending on the might of your hand, you will fail. Right? Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. And then finally, we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. We won't look at false gods, false idols, and all this stuff and say, oh, here is your God, instead of saying it to the Lord. Returning to God, repenting, confessing, and acknowledging what is real. These other things that we have put in your place, oh God, they don't save us. They are not our king. They are not where all blessing comes from. It is you, O Lord God. And the final part of this confession here is an acknowledgement of the character of God. It's wonderful. It seems in a way out of place, but it's a statement of who God is. In you, the orphan finds mercy. It's a beautiful picture of who God is. They think of the orphan and as one who has no one caring for them, no one providing, no one protecting, no one loving them. God does. God is merciful to even those that we look at in the worst situations in their life. God loves those who are suffering and struggling and who the rest of the world overlooks. There cannot be a person in this world that we overlook, that we ignore, that we think does not have worth and value in God's eyes. God has created everyone in his image, and they are precious in God's eyes. Return to the Lord. Repent. Confess, acknowledge who God is. He's going to continue on with promises of healing and promises of blessing and promising of restoring and being merciful. Yes, the judgment is still going to come. As the people acknowledge this, they still go into captivity. War still comes. The point here isn't to necessarily get out of the temporal things, though God may relent in his wonderful mercy and his sovereignty. But even in death, it's not the end. God's kingdom is eternal. His mercies are everlasting. So may God help us to examine in our lives. First of all, if we've never come and received him as our Lord, if we've never turned to him in the first place, may he open our eyes that we would trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as the one who made us and loves us. May he also then, for those of us who do know the Lord, help us to see areas in our lives where, likely not intentionally, where we are living as if God just doesn't really exist. And may we hear him calling us to return to him. Come, dear brothers and sisters, let us return to Jesus today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for calling out to us and telling us of our sinfulness, O God, of the ways in which we turn from you, Father. I do pray by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to see this week the ways in which we are sinning against you, O God, and that we would take that seriously, for you take it seriously. And that we would return to you, O Lord God. We would repent. We would confess to you and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.